The Hook, a new nonprofit, is building community and bringing people together in Cedar Rapids through storytelling, poetry, and other performance. This hour, we'll find out what it's all about. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I'll talk with Akwi Inji, the woman behind The Hook, a nonprofit that's bringing writers, artists, and others together in unique ways. Then later in the hour, an aggressive leader gets overthrown and exiled. Years later, when he tries to return, he meets a brutal end. The political players in this story are not humans, they're chimpanzees. I'll talk with primatologist Jill Preetz about her latest observations and an opportunity for all of us to see the chimps she studies. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll talk with Iowa State University primatologist Jill Preetz about the group of chimpanzees she studies in Senegal. We'll talk about her most recent observations, including some political intrigue among the troop of chimps. And we'll also get a preview of the new PBS series, Spy in the Wild. Her Fongoli chimps are among the stars of that series, which premieres tomorrow evening. But first, there's a new artistic nonprofit in Cedar Rapids that is bringing people together in unique ways. It's called The Hook. It produces workshops for writers and performers and opportunities to perform in a variety of venues, including, coming soon, living rooms. With me is Akwi Inji. She is the founder and executive director of The Hook. Hello, Akwi.
Hi, Charity. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And describe a little bit more for me what The Hook does.
Sure. So we try to, in a variety of different ways, from very microcosmic opportunities to macrocosmic opportunities, engage community members with art, engage community members with each other in unique and inspiring ways. We talk a lot about, in the context of The Hook, as we're planning programming, we talk a lot about the importance of being together in a physical space together and using art in a way that engages community members with each other.
So a lot of what you do is through spoken word performance or poetry. Why do you think that is a particularly powerful way for people to connect with each other?
Because it lends itself to authenticity and honesty. And there's something true about being in a space where, with spoken word and performance poetry, you're allowing into that space youth, oftentimes underrepresented people in our community, because that traditionally and historically is a medium through which they express themselves. And so it's a very metropolitan approach using spoken word in what we're doing. A lot of people are like, this is happening in Cedar Rapids. Yes, it's happening and people are coming. And so being able to offer opportunities that young people and even ethnic minorities are naturally tuned into, and then folding into that demographic, you know, everybody else in the community, is something that's really important to us.
You spent a lot of your childhood in Cedar Rapids. You went to Washington High School in Cedar Rapids. Before that, you have a more diverse world experience. You were born in Iowa City, but tell me a little bit more about growing up.
Sure. So I was born in Iowa City, as you said. And then really quickly after I was born, my mom and dad hightailed it out of here to Cameroon in Africa, which is where my dad is from. And I grew up there until I was about 8 years old. And then we moved to Springville, Iowa. So you can imagine the culture shock going from Cameroon to Springville, Iowa. And I lived in Springville until the summer before seventh grade, or actually
and
summer
Springville,
before
Springville, for people who don't know, very small town right next to Marion.
Yes, yes. And so I lived in Springville until eighth grade, and then we moved to Cedar Rapids after that.
So when you were a teenager, was spoken word, you were experimenting with writing, becoming a writer, but was spoken word something that you found?
Spoken word was something that I found in my junior year of high school. And when I found it, it was like, oh, where have you been? It spoke so deeply to me. And I realized that it really took, so some of the writers who I was drawn to when I was in high school, at that time, Langston Hughes and Maya Angelou, even Ralph Ellison, some of those writers were writers who, when I found spoken word, I could see elements of lyric elements, rhythmic elements that were true of their writing and that performance poets were essentially, employing in their own work. And so when I found spoken word in those late high school years, I thought, okay, this is where my heart is. You know, I loved Shakespeare and I loved Robert Frost, of course, but when I found spoken word, it was finally something that I felt fully engaged with.
How do you feel it helped you connect with other people?
It was, for me, an opportunity to examine and explore cultural issues of personal experience in a way that I wasn't seeing being done fully in traditional literature. And for me, that was fascinating because then I thought, okay, well, if this is possible to find these poets in New York and Chicago, how can we do that here? And growing up in Cedar Rapids and then going to school at the University of Iowa, wanting to be a writer, I did not find an opportunity to engage with spoken word in the way that I imagined would be possible even here in Iowa. And so I thought, well, I'll just eventually maybe create it myself.
So that is really where the idea for The Hook comes from. I mean, you mentioned you can find these poets in so many places. Maybe you can't find performers like that in Cedar Rapids. Why try to create this program here? Why not go where it's happening?
Oh, boy. Well, that was a thought for a long time when I was in high school and college. I thought, I will eventually move to New York or Chicago, and I will just engage myself in the performance poetry, spoken word scenes there. But you grow roots here pretty quickly in Iowa. And I have two daughters now. And I realized about 5 years ago that I was going to be living in Iowa for a good long while. And so that, for me, was the moment where I decided, okay, I'm really going to dig into the soil here. And if I'm going to be here, I'm going to do it my way. And so that, for me, was the moment that I thought, okay, The Hook is something that I can do here and that I can create for other people. So it became something that I thought, all right, if I felt this way when I was in high school and college here, and this kind of thing still doesn't exist, well, certainly there are other people who must feel that this is important too, the way I did when I was young. And
not just young people.
Exactly. And that was going to be something that I would also add, is that I am flabbergasted by how diverse our audience is, even in terms of age. Depending on our program, depending on the theme maybe of the event, we've got 12-year-olds to, 70-year-olds in our audience coming to experience spoken word. And that, for me, is pretty telling of how important this is in our community, that so many people can be engaged with it.
Well, let's talk about some of the different things that you are doing at The Hook. And then let's talk about Art Loud, because I know that you just had a very successful event, an Art Loud event, Stories of Loss and Found, including dance,
yes,
art, music, and words. Tell us about Art Loud. What is the idea?
So the idea was that we would take all these different art forms and really just dovetail them together in one space. And the glue for the piece would be the theme. So the Stories of Loss and Found, we essentially said, all right, how can we take writers from our community, or even community members who don't necessarily consider themselves professional writers? We write the script, and then we hand that script off to local choreographers. They create movement to go with that script. We had an artist curate work that fit the theme that was displayed in the space. And the idea was that we not only connect community to the art, but artists with each other in a fresh and interesting way. And hopefully, through that experience, community members leave that space going, huh, I never thought about this experience in that particular way. You know, we were approaching that theme from a variety of different angles. One of our pieces was about an amputee. So the loss of a body part, what does that look like in the context of your life as a mother, as a runner, and really creating an opportunity for people to engage with each other's stories is ultimately what we're about, because science tells us that, you know, when we know one another's story, there's certainly empathy and trust that's grown, and that's what essentially we try to accomplish.
How many people were involved in this event, for example?
Okay, so I knew you were going to ask that.
Just a ballpark figure.
Ballpark. All of the artists and the creatives that were involved? Whew, I think it was around 40. 40, that includes the dancers, the writers, yeah. And then the audience, we sold out at about 138.
Wow.
And it seems that, and that's just the beginning, you know? It seems that it's something that can certainly grow.
So as part of Art Loud, holding the event, I mean, that's the end product. But leading up to the event are workshops and opportunities for writers to work together. Tell me more about that.
Sure. So in this particular case, we met with 9 other writers, and over the course of about 8 weeks, we workshopped their writing. And it was interesting for them because, on the one hand, some of them were really familiar with and comfortable with writing for the page. When it came time for me to work with them in their writing and trying to tweak it so that it would work well on stage, they thought, holy cow, this is really interesting. Thinking about word choice and syntax in a different way for performance. And so I was impressed with how quickly those writers really glommed on to this idea of offering a more conversational tone to a certain degree with some of their writing. And so that experience, I think, was interesting for me just in terms of helping them understand how to translate the work from being for the page to the stage.
You've really found a voice in spoken word performance. And, I mean, so many people have found their voice in that way. And it's a powerful form of self-expression. Maybe you can give us some insight on how this kind of self-expression helps someone in the audience hear the story in a different way. How do you feel it really facilitates that kind of communication and understanding that maybe doesn't come in another way?
I think that part of what's crucial about spoken word in the context of what we're doing is that it juxtaposes vulnerability with empowerment. And so, you know, some of our spoken word artists or even the writers whose work works very well for performance, they're offering a sense of empowerment in the context of being very vulnerable in front of this audience. And, you know, we have social media all the time, we're shouting at each other and not often sitting back and listening to each other. And I think the audience appreciates that opportunity to listen.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. My guest right now is Akwi Inji. She's founder and executive director of The Hook, a new nonprofit organization in Cedar Rapids. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the work of a new nonprofit organization in Cedar Rapids. It's called The Hook. It's an organization that produces workshops and showcases of spoken word, performance poetry, live storytelling. A lot of ideas coming up in future months and future years. With me is the founder and executive director of The Hook, Akwi Inji. And before the break, we were talking about your Art Loud events. Let's talk about another event that you do on a regular basis, Drop the Mic, which is a monthly thing for you, right?
It is. It is. And we started off thinking that we would be lucky in Iowa with spoken word as the nucleus to get, you know, 50 people in the audience each month. And we keep outgrowing our venues. So we average 100 to 120 people at Drop the Mic. And it is really fascinating because that audience comes ready to listen to new perspectives. They know, they expect that that's what's going to happen that night, and they're ready for it, and they're engaged. And we play around with themes. Last year in November, our theme for Drop the Mic was what we teach our children, and we had 4 sets of parents with their children. And, you know, one set was woman in her 30s with her mother, who was a Vietnamese immigrant. And so the age range even there was really fascinating. But yeah, so Drop the Mic has grown more than we can handle, really.
And so it's storytelling and poetry. I mean, how do you curate a show? What kind of elements do you bring together?
Well, I look for a variety. So I'm very conscious of the fact that I want it to be maybe we have somebody who's in their 20s, and then maybe we also have somebody who's in their 50s. Or I look for sort of a difference in how far along they are in their professional career as writers. So we try to incorporate professional writers who have been doing this kind of work and are flourishing for a while with up-and-comers. And so it's poetry, it's spoken word, it's performance poetry. We've had people even read from excerpts from their fiction. So it's just a variety, but that's the way we like it. Keeping it fresh, keeping it different so that people come not knowing quite what to expect and that it's always going to be different.
Now, you said you wondered if you could get an audience for that in Iowa. I mean, particularly in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I mean, there are communities in the state, usually the university communities, that are considered to be the more artistic communities. So in Cedar Rapids, are you finding that people are coming from the local community, or are people traveling for this?
They are coming from the local community, and we actually have decided that about a third of our audience members are coming up from Iowa City. And so that's pretty exciting. You know, we've had people coming in from Anamosa and even Dubuque, but most of them are from Cedar Rapids, with about a third of them coming up from Iowa City, which is pretty cool.
And maybe you're bringing communities together in the audience.
Exactly.
As well. Now, I want to look ahead to some of the things that you're doing as well. You bring young people into the organization. How do you get involved with teenagers and give them an opportunity to find their voices?
We have primarily incorporated the teenagers, the high school kids, into our programming through the summer workshop that we offer. And then that workshop culminates in a live storytelling and performance poetry event for those kids. But I'm always keeping my eyes and ears open for high school kids and college kids who would also be interested. And so if I hear of somebody, I try to figure out how to weave them into our programming. It's been helpful because I was a language arts teacher, so I've got a lot of friends who are still in the profession and know what I'm up to, and as soon as they have a student that they think would be interested, they give me a call or shoot me an email.
I was just going to ask you how you work that network and who you're talking to.
Everybody.
Everybody.
I've even pulled people off the street whose voice I sort of like the sound of, you know, or their cadence, and I think, okay, are you a writer by chance? You know, trying to figure out how to incorporate different people into our programming.
I was looking at your website today, and I saw that you have a new project that's starting soon, the Living Room Series, where this is a storytelling event that's going to take place in somebody's home. Tell me about the idea.
So I wanted to create an opportunity for, on a very intimate level, to connect people and engage people with one another through dinner and storytelling. And so each event has a theme, and the guests come to that dinner knowing what the theme is. Hopefully they will have started thinking about what story they might tell about their lives in relation to that theme. And the idea is that if we start with these small pockets traveling from living room to living room throughout the community, engage them with each other, offer them an opportunity to connect and grow together, then when they go outside of that living room and into the larger community, hopefully they leave that living room and enter the community with a more open concept of what it is to be a responsible community member to one another. The stories will be funny. The stories will be heartbreaking. And one of my hopes for the Living Room series is that people start to see how similar we actually are to one another, as opposed to how very different we sometimes think we are.
So the idea is that this isn't a gathering of your 25 closest friends. This is a gathering possibly even of strangers. So whose living room is it, and who's coming?
Okay, so it's we jump from living room to living room.
Okay.
So we've already had more people offer to host the Living Room Series events than we have dates on the calendar for right now. So it's just everyday community members who love the idea of this. It doesn't have to be a huge house. And so we've got living rooms already set up to host these events. And that's another part of it, too, is jumping around from, you know, home to home offers that sense of connection as well, so that it's not just the same space all the time. And then people are invited to purchase a ticket to attend the event. And the hope is that, like you say, we're not just hanging out with 25 of our closest friends, that we're hanging out with strangers who by the end of that night become friends.
And you have a curated storytelling program that right. goes along with this, but then the opportunity for somebody who buys a ticket and goes to also share a story?
Exactly, yes. So we have two curated storytellers per dinner. And some of those are coming in from Des Moines, from Chicago. And then we do have an opportunity also in that evening for the guests to share their own stories. And that, again, is just an example of how we try to weave in the professional with the up-and-comers, giving people in the community a chance to share their voice and their perspectives in the context of very, very polished events, you know.
When does the first, I know it starts in February, when's your first living room event?
February 22nd.
So what is your hope? What do you hope to see during that evening?
I hope to see that people spend the first part of that evening as they're having dinner, very organically and naturally connecting with each other, introducing themselves to each other, connecting with each other. And then as we hear the curated stories, being able to feel a sense of place and connection with each other as they enjoy that entertainment. And then when it comes time for them to be able to share their own stories, seeing that they are comfortable with each other and supportive of one another and able to see themselves in the stories of others that are being told is something that I hope I see happening.
Is there a model for this? Where did the idea come from?
Well, where did that idea come from? In larger cities, you know, Chicago has an incredibly flourishing live lit scene. And so in cities like Chicago, I think probably even New York, they do these living room concerts. Those, as I understand it, are primarily friends who decide that this is the thing that they want to do, and they jump around from home to home. But I wanted to take that model and figure out how to engage strangers with one another.
You have so many ideas, and you've tried so many different things. Have you been surprised how quickly this has taken off in just a couple of years? I mean, you haven't been around long doing this.
I have been shocked. So we officially started programming just February of 2016.
And so a year.
Yeah, just 1 year. And we are growing faster than I ever imagined. I sort of feel like I'm on a runaway train or something, still in control. So maybe totally run away, but holy cow, it's moving quickly. But it's all good. And one of the things that I love best about it is that, because a lot of people say, how is the hook different than other things that already exist? And I think one of the reasons it's so popular and has grown so quickly is because while we have incredible opportunities in our community to engage in art or to engage with art, we don't have an opportunity where it's the wildflowers we're engaged with. You know, there's the botanical gardens. There are those opportunities where the art is pruned and trimmed and neatly processed and is very, very tidy. And then where are the wildflowers, you know?
I want to bring somebody else into the conversation now. I'm talking with Akwi Inji. She's founder and executive director of The Hook in Cedar Rapids. David Duer has performed with The Hook at Drop the Mic, but he's also a teacher at Washington High School in Cedar Rapids. He's with us on the line. Hello, David.
Hello, Terry.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, sure.
And give me a little bit of an idea. When you found out that Akwi was putting The Hook together, what was your response?
Well, I was impressed and amazed, and you know, and there was almost a level of, but you know how much you're biting off here, and you're going to be chewing, you know, with that. But one of the things that's kind of amazed me about the work that she's done in the last year or 2 years or so is how much further she's taken it than I even imagined that she would. I knew this was going to be a lot of work, but she's done amazing job of making this a collaboration, of bringing in these different artists, these different musicians, dancers, choreographers, musicians all together, and doing things so that this does become sort of this wonderful collaboration of these different perspectives and different sort of ways of looking at the world, centered around the Cedar Rapids community. So
now, as a writer and a performer yourself, what do you think you've gotten out of participating?
Oh, I mean to have that audience, and to be able to tap into that, audience. I think any writer, loves that opportunity, whether it's, whether it's getting to that audience through publication or getting to that audience in a, in a live performance medium, the opportunity to have, people that give you feedback. And I do think performing is clearly the more immediate, not only just the energy you get from being up on stage and sort of receiving accolades, but that opportunity to talk afterwards with people and kind of like, what worked, what didn't work, why people liked it. And the ways in which, you understand your work better, through that kind of transaction, that is at heart what the writing process is about. So.
You've also gotten some of your students involved with The Hook?
Absolutely. So Akwi has had some workshops, whether they were, short, like one-day workshops or multiple-day workshops, and some of them have been geared specifically for students, but also even the I can't remember what you call those, Akwi, the sort of the generative, sort of meeting times. I know you have a name for that.
Oh, Right Night.
Mm-hmm. Those are all, great opportunities for students. And some of them, Akwi's contacted me and said, do you have any students who would be interested? And I would sort of do that direct kind of like, here's a name or here's a couple of names or, telling them about it and telling them to contact her, but also just having that there, having it available. A lot of the students have attended the Drop the Mics, just as audience members. And, for a lot of them, this is really, maybe one of the first times where they've, they've actually been to live readings and realized that, that this is a, this is a great kind of way of sort of becoming part of, a writing community is by being part of that audience. And the Nouveau Poe Jams that she's done have been the same thing. Lots of my students have attended those. The Drop the Mic also has an open mic element to it also, so it's certainly given, students that opportunity also to become part of, to step out in front of the mic in those communities.
Well, David Duer, thank you so much for talking with us. I know you have to get back to work, but thanks for taking the time.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, David.
Bye-bye.
David Duer is an English teacher at Washington High School in Cedar Rapids. And we just have a couple of minutes left, Akwi, but let's take a look into the future. As you mentioned, you've been at this for a year. You've clearly accomplished a great deal, gotten a lot of people involved. There's a lot of excitement around this. What's your vision for the future of The Hook?
We have really established the major bits of programming that always were the big vision. So now we're just wanting to grow those, grow the audience members, grow that collaborative process that David was talking about. That's incredibly important to me. And then we have a lot of cities and communities throughout the state and even outside of the state who are finding us and are asking us to start implementing programming in their communities. So that was always going to be a thing that we, aimed to do, but it's happening faster than we had hoped. So really trying to implement our programming throughout the state and even outside of the state will eventually be something that we focus on, and then offering a lot more workshops too.
So as you think about offering programs like this outside the state, as we were talking about earlier, Cedar Rapids may seem like an unlikely place for this to grow. Where do you think about taking The Hook?
Anywhere that will have us. Starting, though, with cities that are of similar size, similar demographics, because being able to infuse into the larger narrative the stories and the experiences and the perspectives of those people who sometimes go underrepresented in those communities is really at the heart of what we do. And then, like David was mentioning, I wanted to sort of piggyback off of one of the things he said. One of the items, or one of the features of the hook that I'm particularly excited about, is that we try to create an opportunity for creatives to not only get their audience to engage with their work, but get the audience to engage with them through their work. And being able to just connect people with each other in that way, I think, is important for us too. So just growing those collaborative processes.
Now, you lived in Springville for a while, a very small town, and there are, of course, a lot of young people living in small towns like that around the state of Iowa. Do you see this as something that you could take into a small community and give people a voice that maybe they don't have right now?
Absolutely. And I think that ultimately those are exactly the kinds of communities we maybe ought to be in most.
What do you think your greatest challenge will be?
I wonder how receptive those communities would be to this concept of performance poetry, quote unquote, you know, spoken word coming in. And a lot of people don't even know what that is. A lot of people don't know what I'm saying, what I'm talking about when I say spoken word performance poetry. But I think that perhaps the biggest challenge will be getting that audience to be receptive from the start.
Akwi, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much, Charity, for having me.
Akwi Inchi is the founder and director of The Hook, a nonprofit in Cedar Rapids that's bringing people together in some really unusual and exciting ways. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about chimpanzee behavior with primatologist Jill Preetz of Iowa State University. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.